Hello, and welcome to the Parental Advisory Movie Podcast. We are your hosts, Jeff Hall and
Patrick Terry. We're two dads with a love for movies.
Join us as we discuss movies we have seen with our kids,
as well as movies we have seen without them.
Good morning, Patrick. How's it going?
Pretty good, Jeff. How are you?
I am doing well. You are coming in so crystal clear, man. I feel like I can just reach over the screen and touch you. It's looking great.
Beauty of technology.
Right? Yes, indeed. Crisp picture, for sure.
Yeah.
How are you doing, my friend? What's going on?
I'm doing all right. This is 5 days from now. Daughter be walking, graduating high school, getting that diploma.
That's so wild.
It is. But yeah. And then my aunt and one of my cousins are supposed to be coming down following us. I'm not sure if anybody else is going to come, but yeah, that's the highlight of the week. That will be the highlight of the week.
Yeah.
And then over the weekend, you know, we had gotten her class ring. And so when it first came in, we were, you know, taking a look at it. And so it came in a, you know, decently sized box. Had two boxes in it, like a bigger one than like a little smaller one, little ring box.
Yeah.
And so when we opened the bigger box, it's like, there's no ring in it. Because I figured that's where the ring would be.
Right.
And so we looked in the other box, and that's where it was. It was in the keepsake box.
Yeah, yeah.
And so got the idea when we give her the ring, because she wanted to have it so she can walk with it. So got the idea that when we give it to her, we'll just give her the package minus the one that actually had the ring in it. And so I was going to try to record it, but I missed the moment. But she opened that big box and she was like, it's not in here. And so my mom and sister was like, what do you mean? It's supposed to be in there. It should be, you know. And so we were kind of going along
with her. Yeah.
And then she looked at me. I'm like, well, and I pulled out my pocket. Maybe it's in this one. And then I gave it a smaller box and then she opened it. And it's like, okay. And she read several sighs of relief. And, you know, we told her what happened when we first got it to check it out. And then she's like, oh, all y'all were in on the joke. Like, yeah, of course. But, yeah, came in exactly as she wanted because, you know, I followed her details. And so everything was perfect for her. So it was cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. I can't believe it. I'm like, I don't even know her, but yet I still just from us talking about our kids for the past almost 5 years, it'd be 5 years in July, which is wild to think. But just, you know, just talking about different things, it's just crazy just seeing our kids grow up, you know, grow up in front of us. And then like, it's just there, like, bam.
Yep. Time just flies.
Yeah.
Complete.
My best friend back home in Springfield, she posted a picture last night, or I guess her and her three kids.
Mm-hmm.
Two are grown. One even has, I think, two has three kids. And she's only 4 months older than me.
Yeah.
Thanks. She's a grandmother. Yeah.
Got the grown kids.
Yeah. It's good. Two in their 20s, and then her youngest is in high school, which is just... And she had posted a picture of the three of them because it's not very often that gets the three of them together at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at them, I'm like, I remember when each one of them was born, and it's just so crazy.
Yep.
So crazy. It's just, wow.
Cherish those moments.
I know, right? So, and, you know, and here in a couple of weeks, York will be in eighth grade and Grayson will be in fourth grade. It's just...
Soon you'll be going. It'll be your time. To
oh man, it'll be prepared. Give it it's just wild. Yeah, it's just all wild. But yeah, it's great. It is great. Nothing much on our end. I can't remember if I talked about York's bike accident and having his knee all scraped up and everything. But It's been a couple of weeks.
Well,
I think I did because I was trying to describe about like the sewer grate that's in the ground, not on the curb.
Yeah.
And his tire, and you know, he comes around the curve and his tire gets stuck in it, and then he goes flying over it. Well, ended up getting infected. So he ended up having staph infection. So we had to go back to the clinic where, you know, after three trips to said clinic because both kids had strep, one, you know, Grayson twice, York once. Yeah. It was different. I'm like, hey, it's not strep this time. So we think it's staph, you know, a different S word.
So, yeah. Part of the S family.
Yeah. So, yeah, they got him some antibiotics and just keep it bandaged up like usual. But he ended up having like three spots that, but I guess it finally drained over the weekend, which, you know, everybody loved to hear about things draining because that's not gross right. at all. But anyway.
It's always good, you know, getting a conversation.
Yeah, well, and considering we talk about worse in horror movies, I figure this is okay.
Yeah.
But he's feeling a lot better and the pain's a lot more subdued now that that's been able to drain and there's not the pressure built up there. So, and he's been great. He's had to take pills for the first time. And they're kind of fairly big ones, kind of like a multivitamin pill, kind of that mm-hmm. size. But he's able to break it in half and, you know, just do it that way. Okay. So that seems to, but yeah, he's been doing it like a champ, like, you know, nothing. So good on him.
The joys of being young.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and then we had a pretty good week. Nice chill week. It was good. And oh wait. Yeah, I guess last Monday the Postal Service? I think so. Mm-hmm. Postal Service desk had a cutie concert with York and I and one of our good friends, Jeffrey, basically last minute decided to join or decided to get a ticket like day of, like two, 3 hours before. And somehow is able to get the seat next to me.
Hey.
So win-win. So yeah, it was great. We three of us had a good time and they put on an amazing show. I could cross that one off my bucket list. It was very enjoyable. It was amazing. Yeah. It was in New York, really had a good time too. And that's, you know, kind of always the most important thing because, you know, I'm hoping he likes the music and he doesn't tell me that he's listening to it in preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. He's like, oh no, I like, you know, this. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I didn't even know.
You utilize some prep time.
Right. Like yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's what he puts on when he falls asleep in the back of the car when I pick him up from school.
Hey, now you know.
Right. And then with this coming week's a big concert week for us. Tomorrow night we go see this band called Sims, like capital S, lowercase I, big M. Mm-hmm. York said they do one of the intro songs for season 4 of Attack on Titan. And they're definitely a harder rock. I wouldn't say metal per se. Definitely a harder rock, maybe a little bit of screaming in it. And then the band that's with them is Fame on Fire, who I really like, and York knew that, which is how he got me suckered into getting tickets for this concert.
Ah.
And it's going to be at a small venue, which I haven't taken you to a small venue yet. So I actually, when I was listening to their music and, you know, re-listening, obviously, Fame on Fire's music, I was like, we need to get some earplugs. Because it's going to be a small venue and it's going to be so effing loud. We both will need earplugs. And it takes a lot for me to be like, we need earplugs.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be fine. It'd be fine. We need her. So I ordered some earplugs and they came in. So we're set to go for that. But then Friday, it's going to be another chill show. This is one that York and his best friend Frankie wanted to go to. Boy With You, all one word. So it's basically like a drum machine and this dude playing the ukulele and some more kind of chill music. So that's, you know, another different kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And so that's Friday. His, York's mom didn't want to go, but said she would get the tickets if I would take them. All right, sure. Hey,
cool.
Yeah, cool. No worries.
Save then, my pockets.
Exactly. Then next Tuesday is Sum 41. This is their, they claim this is their final tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's their final tour until the reunion tour.
Yeah.
But just in case, I got his tickets, and York's never been. I've seen him twice. When they first came on the scene, I saw them at freaking Warp Tour, believe it or not, in St. Louis. God, that's been a hot minute. And then I saw them again when they came through Columbia, Missouri. So I saw them twice. And then, but York hasn't, so this will be great. And we're seeing them at the Ryman Auditorium. So,
okay.
That'll be dope. We're at the top, but we don't need to be close to this because it's It's the Ryman. There's no bad seats.
Yeah. Well,
so three in 7 days. We're gonna or 8 days. About 7 days. So it's gonna be. I'm gonna be busy. So I got to squeeze in some movie watching at some point.
Yeah.
Whatever time I may have left. So.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. So that's what we got going on heading in, and school slowly winding down even for the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
York's got to keep up with his studies, and but yeah, we're getting ready to rock and roll.
That's good. Yeah, Fowler will be taking the cosmetology program.
Awesome.
I believe it starts in July, I think. But yeah, so basically I went to the school's website and I looked up the program, and basically when she finishes that, she should be in line to get started.
You know?
So she'll be ready to rock and roll, I guess, to work at a salon. Of course, if she does that, mm-hmm. you know, they'll have their own process of starting her off at an entry level, then having her work up. So he's pretty set. So awesome. I just wait for her. You know, her paperwork from school, so I can send it to through the head assist program and then see what, if any assistance they provide for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Grayson had her soccer game again. They were playing against the coach that likes to yell at his players.
Hmm.
His 9-year-old, his 9 and under players for the YMCA, who I actually saw at Target this morning before recording.
Dang.
I was like, Ruth asked if he was buying a megaphone. That's like, I seriously doubt he needs it, but
he is the microphone.
Yeah,
the
megaphone. Yeah, he's definitely a megaphone. So yeah, it's pretty funny, but they lost like a lot.
Yeah,
like a lot. But she had fun, and that's all I care about. So
yeah,
yep.
That's the most important thing, to have fun and not let, you know, a loss bring it down. It's just like, it's a learning experience. Because the last time that happened, they ended up winning the next one, right?
Yep. True story. And I'll be able to go to the next one, because I took Saturday off so I could one, take York to his martial arts class, which now apparently I don't need to. But I'm still going to take the day off, because why not?
Yep.
And two, because that way I could actually watch Grayson's soccer game that I haven't been able to watch because it's work. So it's
works out.
Yep, works out. So yeah, that's about it, I guess, for us this week. So yeah, so we don't have any trailers, man. No movie trailers. However, since we don't have any movie trailers, I will talk about three trailers for TV shows that are coming out.
All right.
First is on Netflix, coming out May 30th with Benedict Cumberbatch, called Eric. It's a TV miniseries, 6 episodes. Vincent, a grief-stricken father whose son goes missing, finds solace through his friendship with Eric, the monster that lives under Eric's bed. Yeah, that's the synopsis. And the tagline on the poster is, Eric, the real monsters aren't under the bed. It's listed as a thriller, so and it looks interesting.
Yeah.
Gabby Hoffman, Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm trying to see if there's anybody else we would know. John Doman, who, great character actor. He was in The Wire for, all 4 seasons. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, it looks interesting, though.
Another project, you know, kind of centered around imaginary friends.
Yeah, seems to be the thing.
Yep.
Next, we have The Acolyte on Disney Plus, June 4th, the latest in Star Wars universe. This 8-episode Star Wars series that will premiere Tuesday, June 4th, takes viewers into a galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era, with a bunch of people I've never heard. Daphne Keen, maybe. Kieran Moss. Yeah, I don't know most of the people in this.
Yeah, Mala Sandberg.
Oh, wait. Lee Jun Jae. is in it from Squid Game.
Yeah, Amanda Stenberg's from The Hate U Give movie that came out a few years back. Jodie Turner Smith was in Queen and Slim.
Okay.
And other than those two and Carrie Ann Moss, I do not recognize anyone else.
Right. So, and then lastly, we have season 4 premiere of The Boys. So that'll be out June 13th. Group of vigilantes set out to take down corrupt superheroes who abuse their ship. So not that they had the same synopsis from more really the rest of them. And, you know, has all the returning cast. So should be interesting, I guess. I think I'm still a season behind. I think I've only watched the first two.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I watched the third one. I think I have, I'm caught up. The only thing I haven't watched is the spinoff series that came out. I've only watched a couple of that. Yeah. I want to see the mainline show.
Right. All righty. That's it. So, that's show. Catch you next week. Now, let's get our feature presentation with the Fall Guy. Cue the theme music. Rated PG-13. The runtime 2 hours, 6 minutes. A down and out stuntman must find the missing star of his ex-girlfriend's blockbuster film. Directed by former stuntman David Leitch. Starring actor Ryan Gosling.
Right.
Actor Emily Blunt. Aaron Taylor Johnson, Hannah Waddingham, Teresa Palmer, Stephanie Hsu, Winston Duke, and a host of actual stunt people. So this wild ride basically starts off with Colt Seavers, played by Ryan Gosling, and Jodie Marino, played by Emily Blunt, basically having a kind of a flirty relationship. They're like in a relationship, but we're not really sure when it's introduced how far into the relationship they are. I guess that's a good way to word that.
Yeah.
Colt Seavers is the stuntman for Aaron Taylor Johnson's character, Tom Ryder, who's this like mega superstar, action superstar. And Aaron Taylor Johnson more or less gets his feelings hurt because he feels like Colt Seavers is taking away the star power. You know, he's basically he's just jealous. I mean, that's really what it kind of boils down to. And more or less, he's just jealous because he can do this because he's a stuntman and can do the things that he wishes he could do.
Right.
And so during a scene of a film or the movie that they're shooting, Colt jumps, falls from several stories of a like hotel lobby, and the harness that was supposed to catch him, when he jumped, he was supposed to, they were supposed to count it down, and then the rigging system basically failed to catch him or failed to restrain him, and he ended up hurting his neck really badly.
Yeah,
which made it difficult, and then he basically left the business or kind of went into hiding afterwards, and he lost contact with Jody. He basically just stayed to himself. He didn't want to be bothered. So some time had passed and Jody went on. He was just a camera person at the time. She wasn't even the director. She was just a cameraman. Finally got her big break to shoot a movie. And Hannah Waddingham's character, Gail, who is the producer of most of Tom Ryder's movies, calls Colt Seavers out of the blue and says, "Hey, we need you. Something happened to our stunt guy and he can't, we need somebody. And you're the only one qualified enough to do this." Yeah. Also, by the way, Jody's the director. So Jody needs your help.
That was the hook.
And Colt was basically turned into some like hippie dude that was part, basically a valet driver for this Mexican restaurant in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
He'd grown his hair out and his beard looked all bad.
So kind of let himself go.
He definitely did.
He still stayed in shape.
Oh, he stayed in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit.
So, you know, he just came shaggy looking outside of the body. Body stayed chiseled, but.
Yep. And so that pulled him in. And so he flies to Sydney, Australia, where they're shooting this movie, a space Western romantic comedy action movie.
Covered all the genres.
Yeah. There. Yeah, pretty much. That is based on basically Jody kind of more or less based the story around her and Colt's relationship.
Yeah.
And the story itself is kind of ridiculous, but it's great because it's basically they use the plot of the Fall Guy for the plot of the movie of this movie. And so it's funny when you see things kind of sitting together between the two, between what's actually happening off the screen and what's happening on the screen mirroring each other. It's very clever use of movie making. And feel like it was lazy. I thought it meshed in really well, especially when they kind of did the, so he arrives on set. Jody has no idea that he's coming.
Right.
And, they kind of rushed him around. He's wanting to go see her because one thing Gil said was Jody needs you. She asked for you specifically.
Right.
Which turns out she has no idea that he's coming. And so then he just shows up. So they do that scene where it's a chase scene and he rolls the car 8 times, or 8.5 times, which does break, which ended up breaking the Guinness world record of most car rolls, which ended up being stated in the movie.
Yeah.
They just kind of added it in there after the fact. And, that's actually a true thing.
Hey, I mean, might as well.
Art imitating life, imitating one of those types of things. So it was great, but yeah, it was an amazing feat. I mean, this movie is just a showcase of what stunt actors and whether it's fighting or whether it's getting lit on fire multiple times.
Yes. Getting thrown around like a rag doll.
And even the driving and things like that. This movie purposely set scenes up to showcase it.
Yes.
But it doesn't come across as cheesy or lame because that's what the movie's about.
Yeah.
Like it's
everything fits.
Everything fit perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Which just adds to the sun. And Colt finally has an interaction with Jody. She finally realizes there, and so they've realized that Gale is the reason why he's there.
Yeah.
Jody's met a Colt for basically falling off the earth and not contacting her. Colt tries to apologize, and the funny little exposition about what the movie's about back and forth and how it actually mirrored the relationship. And then her asking Colt what she thinks the motivation for his act, his character that he's doing stunts for should be. Meanwhile, it is reported that Colt ends up finding out that Tom Ryder is missing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows where he's at. And so Gale needs Colt's help trying to find where Tom's at. It's like, you're his stuntman. You've been a stuntman for years. You know him better than anybody.
Right. They're like brothers.
Yeah. And so he starts trying to find them, and it's just he's reluctant at first. It's like, no, I'm here for the movie. But this, I'm here for the movie. It's like, well, if we don't have Tom, there is no movie. They'll pull it, and then Jody will miss a big break. So, there we go. And then we're off. We're off. It's a worse Tom. And just all the hilarious scenes that it sets up. Winston Duke plays the stunt coordinator and Colt's best friend. And so he ends up going with him to help.
Yeah.
And all the different movie references they do is just I love it.
The quotes.
Yeah, the quotes.
Like a lot of them I didn't know. I was like, oh,
cool. Oh,
yeah. I know you knew. I'm like,
yeah, yeah. I was saying them out loud. I was like, ooh.
You sit there like, yo, like, I know that one. I know that reference. I know what they're doing.
Yep. Less Leo, more Chris Evans, Captain America. I get that right. Yeah.
I think I got one of them. But.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if you noticed this today. During this movie, he ends up being chased on a boat. And Colt Sievers has this Miami Vice stunt team jacket that he wears. It's from his first job.
Mm-hmm.
So it means a lot to him. And he goes on this boat chase. I don't know if you've ever seen the Universal Studios stunt spectacular.
Been a while. I think that one year, our senior trip, I think we saw it. I think they may have had it then, or I may have seen it on YouTube.
Okay.
But yeah.
So if you look up the Universal Studios Miami Vice stunt spectacular, you will see that this movie basically mirrors each other. The stunt spectacular.
Yeah.
And the moot is almost like they almost shot it.
Pretty much like they do.
Almost. I said, oh my God. Like I leaned. So first of all, York went with me to go see this. We saw it in IMAX.
That's the way.
Because I saw the when I saw it, I'm like, I had to see it in IMAX because it's this. If there's ever a movie for the summer for me to watch in IMAX, it'll be this.
Yeah,
for sure. And then I invited one of our coworkers and our listeners, my buddy Scott, aka Creatine King, aka G.I. Joe, because he's built like a G.I. Joe figure.
I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Big arm, small torso, big legs.
Yeah.
He knows this. And he knows I call him Creatine King, which I think it's grown on him. Maybe not. No. But nonetheless, Scott joined us. Scott said he actually had the OG Fall Guy truck. Like paint job and everything growing up. And he did his one thing was that he wished that the truck would have been in it more. Like they did the newer GMC like that.
The older motor model.
Yeah. He just wished the older model one would have been in it more. I agree with you on that.
That would have been cool because they had the lineup of the cars and it would have been cool. He gave him the older one.
It's all good. But yeah, so we all watched this together and I leaned over to Scott. I go, dude, it's the Universal Studios stunt spectacular of Miami Vice that they do. It's like, I remember this from a kid being, you know, from when I was a kid, I've seen it twice. And yeah, I really like that little touch. Like, I feel like not everybody would pick that out. But yeah, that was it's just stuff like that. Like even at the beginning where the stunt person, where Colt's falling and the camera's coming down too. So it kind of that has this effect. That's an old Hitchcock effect that they use, except in the Hitchcock movie when someone was falling, they actually had him sitting in a chair and then they would just come down and, you know, they just wave their hands and legs like they're falling.
Yeah.
Or just still and just yelling and they're just, yeah. And so that's an old Hitchcock move that they used to use. Anyways, there's a lot of great homages to different action films and sequences. And no, it's just over. This movie is just amazing. Like the main mystery is where's Tom? And then also Colt's having to reconcile his relationship with Jody and also film this movie. I'm like, when does this man get to sleep?
Right. Cause I mean, he pretty much from the moment he lands to Australia, he's going.
And he can never get his coffee.
No, he never did get a sip.
Mm-mm.
Every time he made his cup, something happened. He get attacked, or he did a good job at first, not spilling it, but then he lost that battle.
Yeah. And just he sure did. I was like, this is going to be an ongoing thing. Bless his heart.
Yes. But as far as this movie, I like the little montage at the beginning of the different stunt scenes.
Yes.
And I enjoyed that. And so, as far as the Fall Guy, like I think I remember catching some episodes when I was younger.
Yeah.
Because it came out like 81. I was one. So I watched the first episode last night from it. And I noticed a kind of callback from that episode in this when they had the blank gun and shot. And I'm like, and I was watching the first episode, like, ooh, they did something similar in the movie, kind of a callback to this. And I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And But yeah, like, you know, I like Lee Majors, so I might actually go back and watch.
You should
watch it, because
yep,
yeah. Because I remember the intro when he was singing the intro. I was like, I remember a little stuff, but I know I didn't watch it all the time, but I'm familiar with it.
Oh, it was one of my favorite shows growing up. I had like the lunchbox and the thermos and everything. So yeah,
all decked out.
Yep. That and Dukes of Hazzard. So were my thing growing up when I was real young. So yeah, you know, then Duke Boys at it again. So anyway, there's a card that's running, that's driving around and jumping ramps and stuff. You know, I'll probably Knight Rider too.
Yeah.
So
that's still my favorite car.
Yep. Same. And favorite theme too. TV show theme.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember that became a Timothy Magoo song later. I was like, ooh,
yep.
All right.
Yep.
So good callback for that. But yeah, this was a fun ride. I like how they introduced Colt and Jody's relationship, how it was good. And then once the injury happens, falls back. But I liked her reaction when she first saw him. She was just like, why is he here? I did not approve this. And, you know, that's when, you know, you start thinking like, okay, something's not right. What's the real deal? But and then with Hannah Waddingham, I kept getting Olivia Colman vibes from her in this.
I could see that.
Because I was like, I know it's not her, but that's the vibe I'm getting. Yeah. I'm like, it'd be kind of cool to see them both in a movie opposite of each other. I think that would be a very entertaining if they write it right. But yeah, it was just overall fun. I like the scene in the club when they drugged him and he starts seeing things and
the fights,
the little effects and everything, and then the split screen.
Yes.
So it's just a lot in it that it's just fun.
Yeah,
like to sit back and enjoy it, and good homage to stunt people. So
yes, and I like how they brought up what you and I had been bringing up for 5 years, the fact that the Oscars does not have a category for best stunt.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, yeah,
the BAFTA is the only one that has it.
It's wild. Because I mean, so, as much as they put on the line to do those stunts, and many unfortunately losing their life doing it.
Yeah, and most movies have stunts.
Yes.
Like, even comedies.
Yeah. And I did like how it was like, you know, we're the people that you don't see. I'm like, well, if it's done right, we don't see them. Yeah, but if it's one of the bad movies, then we recognize it.
If it's Face Off and it's the boat jumping off the ramp, jumping over the ramp, and they close in, a bit too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had this conversation with somebody about that this week. I said, it's the most petty thing for me to get mad about in a movie called Face Off, where all of it is ridiculous and unbelievable, but yet where they lost me was the zoom in on the boat where I can see the stunt person driving the boat and go, that's not Nick Cage.
Right. Like, I love the movie, but this scene, this moment.
That took me out. That's what took me out.
It's ruined it.
You're going for 4 stars, wound up with 3.5.
Yep.
But yeah, and so that's really what happened to John Wick. Be like, sorry, sir, we're gonna have to put you in hiding until you can start. We're grounding you until you can start hiding your stunt actors better.
Right.
it was, which is funny. So yeah, so just before the climactic 250 foot jump, that at the end of the chase in there. The speedometer on the car can be seen to be red 88, which means obviously 88 miles per hour, which the Dory, you know, the Dory in Back to Future activates its time travel device. So that's kind of a little homage to that as well. Apparently, Ryan Gosling had at least 4 stunt doubles for this movie.
Stunt double?
Yep. Head and entourage, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's wild. Oh, goodness. But yeah, so what's great is that Emily Blunt partially based her character on Greta Gerwig, explaining with the warmth and the charm, I guess there's a little Greta in there. So, which is great because Greta Gerwig directed Barbie, in which Ryan Gosling was Ken, and rivaled Oppenheimer starring Emily Blunt.
Yes.
Wow. David Leitch made the choice to direct this movie instead of Will Smith's Fast and Loose the week before Smith slapped Chris Rock in the Oscars.
Yeah.
And I'm still, that right there is just still a moment that I wish never happened.
Yep.
You know, at least on camera. Like, if you got an issue with him, go backstage and let it be like rumor. Oh, there's a rumor that Will Smith and Chris Rock got into it backstage. But
really,
you got
it during commercial break even.
Yeah, but it's like, don't do it in front of a crowd of people and with the camera with millions of people watching. Because that just, whether it's real, staged, or whatever, that wasn't the time or place. And then right after that, do your speech. Like, it took a lot of the sting out of, took a lot of the emotion out of your moment because you did that. Because people are focused on what, dang, he just smacked the shit out of Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. Yet he's getting this this actor award. Just kind of stale, you know, just, it took away specialness, you know, of it. So did you read that Dwayne Johnson was up for this as well,
man,
along with Tom Cruise? Because it's been in development since 2010, so there's a lot of people attached to it. When I read that Dwayne, I'm glad he didn't, because not nothing against him, but
I don't think it would have been as well
suited. Wouldn't have been the same. No.
It would have been more,
maybe his younger, earlier in his career, maybe.
Yeah.
But now I don't know if he would have been able to pull it off.
Mm-mm. Maybe the sequel, he could be the villain. Because you know they're going to probably make a sequel.
Yeah, they could easily do that.
Yeah, easily. So, apparently Ryan Gosling had some fear of heights.
Really?
But still did the 150-foot fall at the beginning of the movie.
Hey.
Little Xanax goes a long way.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll want to stay for the credits because they show a lot of scenes from, like, not really loopers per se, but like outtake scenes from the movie of different stunts that were done. Yeah. And then there is definitely a mid-credit scene, so you'll definitely want to stick around for that. So definitely want to do that.
When the credits start, do not leave.
Yep. When the lights go up, maybe. But yeah, it very fun movie. I would easily go see this again. I'm definitely still not doing 4DX. That's a no-no.
No, that'd be a bit much. I mean, if you've never done it, that'd probably be a good first experience. But considering that might be advanced level 4DX.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, this is like the fourth movie this year that I've wanted to see a second time, which I did watch Civil War twice, but mm-hmm. there's a couple other movies I watched that I've wanted to go back to see. And I don't know, I might, maybe, but is that good that you want to rewatch?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was, So it's not a spoiler. So during the fight scene in Tom Ryder's Sydney apartment, Cold Fevers pushes away his friend Dan when someone shoots at them. And then the sound effect is the same as the $6 million man. Which,
yeah, I caught that too.
We made.
Yep, I caught that. I was like, ooh, I get that reference.
Yep, I got the reference, but I forgot we made.
Yep, $6 million man. Yeah. I watched that so much. My mom said I used to run just like them. You know, on TV, they're running fast, but it looks slow. And I would do that slow motion run, doing the noise. Yeah, that show I did watch. Yeah. I
love it. Oh, man.
Bionic Woman as well.
Yep. Such a great show. But yeah, definitely check out this movie. There's no reason not to. A lot of fun. And then they don't focus a lot on like the romance of it. Like, that's not like a big focal point. It's in there. And they have amazing, amazing charisma together.
Yeah.
Should definitely, I would like to see them do another movie together.
Sure.
And, but there's great use of a Taylor Swift song in a movie.
Yeah.
The best. Yeah, definitely. Please go check out this movie.
And one more thing, I do like how they handled their relationship. Even though she's mad at him, they still took time to talk. And they weren't arguing and yelling, right. But they got to, you know, say their piece and
move on.
And every time they did interact, you see the wall kind of breaking down. It was a very mature approach to
right
showing their relationship. Oh, it was cool. I like that.
Yep.
Alrighty. So I checked out the movie Boy Kills World, which sounds very, very violent, which this is a violent movie.
Which but, correct.
Yes.
So it was very angsty.
Yeah. So it came out April 26th, runtime of 1 hour and 51 minutes, directed by Moritz Moore, and it stars Bill Skarsgård as Boy. That's his name.
Narrator or protagonist?
Yeah.
It's Boy. Gotcha.
Boy. I started thinking of the current God of War game. That's what he calls his son, Boy. And Jessica Roth is June 27, Michelle Dockery as Melanie Vanderkoy, Famke Jensen as Hilda Vanderkoy, Sherita Copley as Glenn Vanderkoy, Brett Gelman as Gideon Vanderkoy, and Isaiah Mustafa as Benny, Andrew Koji as Basho. And then, so Boy, his backstory is Hilda Vanderkoy killed his mom and sister. And so he's taken in by a shaman who teaches him, you know, a lot of self-defense skills and fighting so he can seek revenge on the people that did it. But after what happened to his mom and sister, he was made deaf mute by having his tongue cut out and hot pokers to the ears.
Oh, damn.
So I don't think he'd do a C. But because he can't talk or hear, he has his inner voice. And providing this voice is H. John Benjamin. They recognize him from Bob's Burgers and Archer. So it's very comical how that happens. And the voice that he decides to channel is based on a video game him and his sister played when they were kids. And so they end up going, the shaman and Boy goes to the town, you know, just buy supplies. But then Glenn Vanderkoy comes into town and they have this event every year where they called the culling, where they pick 12 random people and basically murder them on TV, which is very, I guess that's very Hunger Games of them.
Yeah.
But Boy basically gets fed up and he hides in one of the cars and goes back to their headquarters. And Glenn comes in. He's like the face of everything. Like people seem to respect him. But things kind of get crazy because one of the civilians talk against him, so he pulls out his gun, but ends up accidentally shooting one of the citizens, and things kind of go crazy. And so the head of security, June 27, pretty much takes and kills everyone minus 6 people. So now there's 6 people short for their culling, so they got to figure out how to fill those 6 people. As they're making their way back to headquarters, Boy hides in the back of the trunk and you know, starts looking around and doing his Snoopy type stealth. Mm-hmm. Not so well, but along with this, he starts seeing his sister. Like, he starts kind of hallucinating seeing her, but she's kind of like also another, I guess, inner voice to help him through everything he's doing. I guess kind of like a balance of sorts to kind of keep him level. But then everything kind of goes haywire, he gets seen. And he ends up fighting everyone, but then he ends up teaming up with Andrew Koji's Basho, who's one of the resistance members. And his basic thing is he's the cart guy. He just hides behind the cart while Boy fights everyone. So after he takes everyone out, Basho takes him back to the other resistance members, but finds out that all but one person has been taken out, and that's Benny. But then, so because Boy can't hear, he starts, you know, he reads lips. Yeah. But he can't read Benny's because he got this thick beard. And so we get as the audience, we hear Benny talk, but it sounds more like Pootie Tang. So they have subtitles. Mm-hmm. So we know what he's saying, but that's it sounds like Pootie Tang.
Yeah, that's a deep thing.
Yeah. So he sounds like Pootie Tang when he's talking, but subtitles to let us know what he's actually saying. And so he's kind of just making up what he's saying, and it's like none of it makes sense. So he just starts nodding, shaking his head, and agreeing. And just, you know, they're trying to develop a plan to take down the Vanderkoys. And so the point is to infiltrate the event for the culling and then just take everyone out to get his revenge. But at this point, I'm going to stop. But I'll say everything that I've talked about at this point, everything's not exactly as it's first presented. And then you get kind of a reveal later on. But the action is great. You do get a final scene that is awesome. Like, it's just very, I mean, it is a violent movie. It's very bloody, but it's done well. The story itself is pretty thin because it's leaning more on the action, but it's a good, just kind of let it wash over you, the action and just the silliness of it, the constant inner voice that he has. And like, there's time where you might think that people are understand, like maybe hearing his thoughts, like they make you believe that a little bit, but yeah, it's just, it's funny. It's interesting. It is a little predictable. So I think, you know, if you got your thinking cap on, you'll probably figure out what's going on pretty soon, which is why I don't want to say too much. But
and that kind of goes to why we didn't kind of fully complete talking about Fall Guy, because we need there to still be some mystery. Because, they're just like in this movie, the Fall Guy also has a reveal and things kind of switch up. But we're not going to do that because we want everybody to have the same experience we had.
Exactly.
So if you ever feel like what they were talking about, they didn't kind of just stop. Yet you've been listening to us for a while. You know, we do that quite a bit because it's not that we get bored about talking about it. It's because we still need there to be some mystery.
Exactly.
Or viewers give you all just enough to be like, okay, they talked about it enough to pique my interest. We'll go. So that if you ever wonder why we kind of fall short sometimes talking about a movie, that's why.
Because could very easily just keep going and ruin a lot of the moments.
Yeah. You're not here for that.
No. Yeah. I mean, I used to do that if I really didn't like a movie, but I don't even do that anymore. It's tempting sometimes.
Tempting. It is.
But yeah, definitely just want to have a lot of the experience, you know, when you go in the first time to hopefully have a similar reaction we have instead of us spoiling it. And then when you get there, it would be nice to just, you know, see it. Yeah. But yeah, but it's good. It's a lot of, I don't know if they have an eye moment. I don't recall any eye moments. So, because it's been a couple weeks, but there may be.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I still would like to see it. I just, I'm not sure when. So, okay. Two movies that have, one we've all seen. And then two, you've already talked about, but I kind of wanted to hit on a couple of things from my view. So first of all, last Monday, I did, as soon as we got done recording, went and made it to the theaters in time to go see a screening of Alien 45th Anniversary Edition, in which they had like a 10-minute or so little featurette where Fede Alvarez, who's the director of Alien Romulus, the new one coming out, talking to Ridley Scott for a few minutes about different things. And the biggest takeaway I got from it was there's a scene when your characters are first discover the ship when they land on the planet where they had gotten the beacon for help or whatever. And they're walking because they're trying to, because it's a small budget and, you know, they didn't have Star Wars type of budget or technology. So So when you see the three people walking, getting ready to go into the crashed ship that had already been there for a while, when you see the three characters walking into the ship, those aren't the actors. Those are actually instead Ridley Scott's kids in those outfits. This shows scale. They make the ship seem bigger than what, you know, than what it is. And the best way to do that is just get smaller people.
It makes sense.
You know, to help with scale.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like, I wonder, and I started chuckling. I go, I wonder how often that happens, where you're like, you know what? Well, this, because I know, because it what it made me think of was at the end of Casablanca, that when they're all there at the final scene in the airplane hangar, and in the background you see this airplane getting ready. You see people in the background. They use dwarves, I think is what we call them now, little people. They use little people to help with the scale, with perspective and scale. So they used little people to man it.
Probably happens more than we think.
Oh, I guarantee it does.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a clever, and it just made me think of that and everything. Yeah, I try not to.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to be politically correct.
Be sensitive.
I'm
just trying to be careful because, you know.
Things are different now.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was really cool. So I've seen this movie more times than I could count. But I'd never seen it in theater.
Mm-hmm.
So watching it in the theater is such a different experience. There's probably 20 of us in this matinee on a Monday. And I'm sitting there, and you could literally hear a pin drop. It's so quiet.
Yeah.
Because especially during the very kind of high tension scene,
mm-hmm.
which there are many, I mean, you're not hearing anything in that theater. You're not hearing popcorn being chewed. Once you know how intense a movie really is. And again, I have seen this more times than I could count. I felt like I was watching it for the first time, which I know I've heard other people say that, but that's literally what it felt like. Yeah. I knew it was going to happen, but at the same time, my body was acting the way it was reacting to the scene as if I was seeing this for the first time. And the quality good. I mean, the movie's 45 years old, but it still holds up. Everything in this movie holds up. None of it seems dated, you know, other than what the TV screen monitors, which when you see Ash looking through the monitors at the spaceship, again, they couldn't afford this big, huge set design. So they're like, well, we'll do a miniature and we'll show it through this TV screen. So that way we don't need to have, so it'll look bigger.
Right.
And we'll just use Ash's perspective of watching the screen, watching them go to it. I was like, I see what you did. I said, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just wild. And just, I mean, look at all these actors that are in it. Sigourney Weaver, who was in Off Broadway. So this is like her first.
Mm-hmm.
You've got John Hurt. You've got Tom Skerritt. Ian Holm. Vanessa Cartwright. Lord, why am I blanking on his name? You got Yaphet Kotto and then Harry Dean Stanton. There we go. Had to get there. Amazing cast. And I remember watching, and I know I've talked about it, it's been a couple of years, but I talked about there's a documentary on the making of Alien.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from script all the way through, called Memory, an Alien Origin Story. Excellent documentary. If you haven't watched it yet, it was like $5 on iTunes, so I bought it. So I was going to rewatch it. I'd like to show it to Yorick just so he could see like how everything was done and magic of movie making and whatnot. But it is a fan. I mean, just watching in theater was such a pleasurable and enjoyable experience. I love it when they re-release older movies to theaters for those, you know, that never got a chance because either they weren't born yet or just too young. Or want to go back and rewatch it.
True.
Like right now, all the, like, you know, millennials are taking their kids now to go see the 25th anniversary of Star Wars: The Phantom Menace. And I'm seeing a lot of buzz on that, which is great. I love that they have that. I still cannot stand it. But
same.
It is just.
My favorite of the prequels is Return of the Sith. That's it. I watched that, then everything after that until after Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Those five movies, that's what I acknowledge.
I like Attack of the Clones probably more than I like Revenge of the Sith. But I need to go back and rewatch those two, and I hate saying that. I'm not a prequel person. But nonetheless, I just love any chance that anybody can take their kid and go see something that they've watched and have that shared experience. Yeah. So it was phenomenal. Freaking loved it. Still one of the best sci-fi movies of all time. You know, he took a lot from, because Ridley Scott had no intention of making a sci-fi movie, but then he saw 2001: A Space Odyssey, and that kind of changed his mind on ever wanting to do that kind of genre. So thanks to Stanley Kubrick, we get Alien.
Hey.
And we Ridley Scott to Alien, I should say.
Yeah. Well, it's good that happened. No telling what he would have. I mean, I'm pretty sure whatever you come up with would have been still would have been good.
All right. And then real quick, just to touch on, You already talked about the movie The Beekeeper with Jason Statham, directed by David Ayer, starring Jason Statham, Emmy Raver Wampum, Bobby Nadiri, Josh Hutcherson, Jeremy Irons, and Felicia Rashad. Little cameo, which is nice. Real quick, one man's brutal campaign for vengeance takes on national stakes after he is revealed to be a former operative of a powerful clandestine organization known as Beekeepers. All right, now, I'm going to go ahead and start off by saying this movie is very, very enjoyable, as much as any Jason Statham action movie.
Yeah.
It's also relies heavy on ridiculousness, much like most Jason Statham movies. With that being said, it's very enjoyable. It's hilarious that someone that was part of the clandestine organization known as Beekeepers retires and decides to become a beekeeper.
Right.
So this is what I propose, okay? If we're gonna be so literal about things,
mm-hmm.
I need John Wick to go into a candle making business.
I knew that was going.
Has to. Or opening up a bed and breakfast called the Continental. Those are your only two options.
Right.
Cannot go anywhere else from there. Or both. It's a bed and breakfast candle making business. He sells his own candles.
True.
So called Wicksense. Wickinsense. There you go. Instead of frankincense, Wickinsense. Or Wick and Sense, S-E-S-C-E-N-T-S.
Dang. I mean, yeah. It's good marketing.
Yep, got it. Oh my gosh. And the logo's a dog, obviously. Obviously. Yep. Oh, God. All right, make it happen. That's really what John Wick 5 is going to be about, because they think he's dead. So now they gave him the opportunity to open his own candle-making business.
Specializing in candle.
Yep.
Or like you said, a bed and breakfast, and he's the special candle maker in the back that never comes out.
Exactly. See? Called the Continental. Yeah. Oh, my God. So I was not expecting, maybe I just don't remember the trailer enough, but I love that the premise, the MacGuffin, if you will, the thing that sets things in motion, is he's renting out a barn from this older woman who gets scammed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scamming thing. And she gets scammed out of her money. She commits suicide. Her daughter just happens to be an FBI agent. So instead of contacting her daughter to help with this, she goes a little bit further extreme and jumps and commits suicide, which then is the catalyst in what, the beekeeper decides to go make a phone call, and then in the trailer, you see it burns the place down of the scammers. I love how we're just okay with the fact that it's just a phone scam thing. I feel like whoever, like Kurt Wimmer, who wrote the movie, one of his relatives had to have been a victim of this. And that's where he got the idea to read. That's how he took out where he got revenge on that. And then, has to be. It's so silly. It's so silly and so funny. I'm like, I love that this is our bad guy. It's not like drugs or guns or, anything like that or some sort of political move type thing. No, it's a bunch of scammers trying to scam older people out of their money, which, is a real thing that happens. But I just find it humorous. I would have never expect this to be an Jason Statham action movie.
It was just too quick. Like, because, when the suicide happened, I'm like, there are so many other things you could do. Like, what else was going on with her for that to be the result? Because then, we did find out her daughter was FBI, who just happened to be coming, I guess, to visit her when Jason came in for the lunch that he missed, And so I was just like, she had other options. So that's one of the things I didn't like. I'm like, maybe they just didn't have a lot of time with Felicia Rashad. Yeah. Like, well, we're just coming and do this, and then we'll kill you off. But they didn't have to do that. They could have just had her call her, her daughter. Jason still could have come for, for the dinner, and then he could have just went on to his little rogue thing while her daughter does the by the books thing. And so,
it just that cracked me up. And then, like, I'm watching this movie, like, this said, you know, basically he torched a building yesterday. I go, wait a minute, this is only day two. Holy shit, I feel like we've already been doing this for a week,
right?
Like, all this happened in like 40. Oh my god,
oh man. And then her partner always drinking coffee.
Yeah. Well, always. when they're chasing, they're trying to follow the beekeeper. I'm like, doesn't she have like a funeral she needs to be preparing for?
Yeah.
Making that kind of arrangements, contacting some folk.
That too. I was like, yeah. So like when you think about it, there's it's a lot of things to think.
I'm just thinking about it. I'm like laughing about it, but I'm like, eh, fine.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like she's going to be going anywhere and just.
Right. Did anybody show up and take the body? Did they ever show that? Right? I don't recall. I'm like.
No, I'm just. It's so silly.
That's part of the silliness of it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, we got to find the person behind all this bombing and torching buildings. And well, what about your mom? That's okay.
It should be all right. Thanks for bringing it up.
She wasn't close to anybody. I wasn't close to her, so.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Dying. But, again,
yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Just don't think about all that other stuff. Or think about it and have a nice little chuckle. It is worth that. And anyways, it's now streaming on MGM Plus if you have it. If not, you can rent it on iTunes. But it's a fun movie that just had me, sometimes had me chuckling. But a lot of Jason Statham action movies have several of those. It doesn't make them any less fun. It doesn't take away from the enjoyment. Because you know what you're getting, you know, with that.
So, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, if anything, Jason Statham, that's a reason to watch. Like, even if the movie overall is bad, he's at least still good in it.
All right. Coming out this week, we have KOTPOTA. Yep. Comments about that. That's the acronym, which is almost as long as the title of the movie. The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. There we go. Kingdom Apes. There you go.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't do Empire of the Planet of the Apes. Then we would have had three Empire movies.
Might be the next one.
Yeah.
You think they're done?
Because what was it? Frozen Empire from Ghostbusters. And then.
Yeah.
New Empire with the Godzilla Kong. Then you have apes have their own. That would have been a cool trifecta.
It would have.
Yeah.
Year eight. Like, we're only 5 months into the year.
Yeah. Sounds like.
It's not over yet.
Yeah. Empire of the Planet of the Apes. This is what happens because maybe Godzilla lost. So the apes took over. Maybe. And this is the new world.
Right. Hollow Earth got nothing on this.
Yeah. It'd be a cool tie-in.
Yeah, right? It would be wild. We have that, and then we have the very kind of mixed bag reviewed movie that is Chris Pine's movie, Pool Man. So if there's more negative than positive, but I guess it's going to be up for whoever decides to want to go see it.
Yeah. So. Honestly, it's the first I've heard of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's apparently, like, it went to festivals, and it's... Yeah, but he's just kind of Chris Pine's like, I'm just kind of doing my thing, like, I've done all the things I want to do, or that, you know, I'm just going to be, this is what I want, you know, I've done all the big ones, I'm going to do what I want to do. And so apparently growing his hair out long and having a beard is part of it. So Darren Barenman is an unwavering optimist and native Angelino who spends his days looking after the pool of the Tahitian tiki apartment block and fighting to make his hometown a better place to live. Starring Chris Pine, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Danny DeVito, Annette Bening, Stephen Tobolowsky, John Ortiz. It's got a pretty decent cast. This is written by and directed by Chris Pine. So I guess looks like it probably takes place in like the 90s because he's using a Discman. So. I guess we'll see. I don't know. We shall see. That's what we got going on.
Cool.
Yeah. The only thing I got left is to preemptively wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. So that's that is Sunday.
Sunday. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Ooh. Take him to go see take him to go see Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Or The Fall Guy, because they would probably enjoy that one more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot, my mom probably watched that. She might have. I don't know, she might have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, with that being said, we hope everybody has a good week, and we will talk to y'all post Mother's Day.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed our show and have a moment, please rate and review. It helps us out a lot.
Also, recommend us to someone that enjoys movies or also has kids.
You can find us on Twitter at PA Movie Podcast and on Instagram at parental_advisory_movie_pod. Be sure to join our Facebook group, Parental Advisory Movie Podcast, and join in on the fun.